I want you to look, if you would, in Psalm 91, and I'll preach to you this morning a little while, a message that coincided with Marty's. I listened to Brother Marty's lesson in here. I was up in the balcony in the stairwell there, and then some of what Brother Dan said. So we're looking at Psalm 91. Trust it'll be a blessing as you find your place in Psalm 91. I did hear this story, and Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible and certainly in the Old Testament, but so it's easy to find Psalm 91. But I heard about this burglar that broke into this house. There wasn't nobody there. He could see he's been casing out. Wasn't anyone there, and so he broke in. And as he broke in, though, he's getting ready to steal some things. He heard a voice behind him said, "Moses is watching you." And he froze in his tracks and didn't do anything for just a little while. And then he finally heard that same voice again. And so then he turned around very sheepishly and looked and shined his flashlight over there. And there was a parrot, big old parrot, sitting there on his perch. And he said, "Again, Moses is watching you." And he looked at him and shined the light. He said, "Did you say that?" And he indicated that he did. He said, "I'm just trying to warn you." He said, "Warn me? Warn me about what?" He said, "Well, I'm just trying to warn you." He said, My name is Abraham." And he said, "What kind of idiots would name a parrot Abraham?" And he said back to him, "The same idiots that would name a 150-pound Rottweiler Moses." And there Moses was behind. And he said, "Sick of Moses." Psalm 91, I want to do something I don't normally do, and that is read the whole chapter, which is not that long, 16 verses, but they're so good. And I want you to look, if you will. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." I'm not going to preach on that, but did you see the last part of verse number 4? What would be your shield? That means your protection, your buckler, your protection. His truth. That's why it's so important to get the Word of God down in us, to remind ourselves of how that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is going to prepare a place for us. He will come again. All of these truths, the Bible says, His truth shall be my shield. When all of the fiery darts of the devil come to me, all of the wicked thoughts and all that, His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not cometh nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." I'll just give another parenthetical statement. Look at what it says there in verse number 9. "We have made the Lord, even the Most High," that's one of the same, God Almighty, "we have made Him my habitation," meaning that's where I'm living. I'm not living with Him yet, because I'll be there one of these days, but I'm living in His truth. I'm living in His security. I'm living in His ability. I've made Him my habitation. "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation?" And so we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place." And I want to preach for just a little while about that this morning, because I know why the Lord led me in this, and that's because there's just a whole lot of people right now that are needing to be snuggled up close, if you would, to the Lord. You see in verse number four, he says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. And look in the image of, like the scripture says about Jesus, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not. And under his wings shalt thou trust, his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. I want to preach about that secret place a little while this morning. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and I ask you to do in the hearts of people what they desperately need and what only you can do, and that is give help and encouragement from your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the secret place doesn't mean that it's not known. It's just that it's not that well known. And you understand that many people in our lives, even Christian people, you, me, we're not careful, we all fall in this. We certainly want to claim the great promises of Scripture, and we say, He'll never leave me. But then we oftentimes stray from those thoughts, and we don't dwell in the secret place. We don't dwell close to Him like we should. The secret place, as I mentioned, doesn't mean that it's not known. It just means that it's not well known. You think about in your days gone by, you think about some boys that are making a clubhouse back in the backyard. Maybe their yard joins another yard, which joins another yard, and they've got a secret clubhouse back there. Now, except what you're in the group, you don't know where the secret hideout is. You know, like the Little Rascals, the He-Man Woman Hater Club. Some of you guys were in that back in the day. Amazing how that turns. You hated those girls so much, but then after a while, it's like, maybe not bad. And then you set your eyes on one particularly, said, now they're all okay, but now that one's really good right there. Amazing how that all changes. But you think about that club that those boys have, and those boys, they don't want just everybody knowing where the secret hideout is. They disguise the door maybe with some shrubs or some limbs or something else, and they wait until nobody's watching. They get in there so that nobody sees where they are, and then they have their secret meeting in there to talk about all the important things like baseball and cars and all that stuff, whatever it is. But it's not that nobody knows where that entrance is. It's just those members of that secret club know where it's at. Y'all ever done this when you go back somewhere where you used to live? When you was a kid, you go back and you say, I thought this was much bigger. I remember we had this huge big old rock in our backyard, one house we lived in, and we used to climb up on that and play cars, and we'd make all the rocks and crevices were our parking spaces. And so this was back in the day when kids played outside. I know it's not that day now. Now it seems like they don't, but we did. We didn't wait for the streetlights like some people say that, well, Mom said, come back when the streetlights come on. Well, we'd have waited till moonlight came out, but we didn't have any streetlights back where I was growing up. But went back some years later and said, wow, either I got big or that rock shrunk because these big old play places in the backyard. But that's not part of it, except to say that sometimes you have this secret place where you hang out, you hide out, you have this club, and not everybody knows where it is. And I'm afraid that oftentimes that secret place of the Most High, it's available to every Christian, it's available to every believer, it's there for you and I to come in, and the secret place, the place under the shadow of the Almighty, that's available to you. But I'm afraid, like that secret hideout, that only those boys know where the door is. I'm afraid that sometimes people act like, I can't find that secret place. For a person, though, to be in this secret place, it gives a whole lot of blessings. And I want to give you a few of them today and ask you, are you in that secret place? I'm speaking specifically to Christian folks, the ones that know you know that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Not just, well, yeah, I believe in there was a man, but that you are a Christian. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're not sure about that, I pray that before the day is over that you would become sure and trust Christ as your Savior. But I'm asking Christian folks this morning, are you dwelling in that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty? Or are you trusting that life is just not going too bad right now, that you think you can muscle your way through? Can I tell you that I believe I know a lot of Christians who they certainly come to church and they certainly look at the promise of the Scripture and they say, thank God for those things. But I believe that truly they're going on the fact that God is so gracious and isn't letting some horrible thing come into their path right now. That's what's getting them by. But my friend, I'm talking to some people right now that their lives are getting so in such upheaval. They're having such difficulty. They're having such trouble. They're having such issues going on that it's not going to be able to be say that, wow, everything's going good. Instead of saying health issues and financial issues and family problems and all of these things are going on, and because of that, I'm going to have to plug in and be a part of the shadow, under the shadow, rather, of the Almighty. I'm going to have to get to that secret place. And I'm asking you, my friend, this morning, if you've been to that secret place, if you've been alone with the Lord in prayer, if you've shut everything else out and it's just you and Him, and you've stayed until the help from heaven came and it seemed to flood your soul to show that even though difficulties are in your path, that you are able to continue on because you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to look at a few of them this morning. I want you to think of this, though, first, before we look at point number one. You know that shadows are not very large. They're only shadows because they're surrounding the object that's casting a shadow. And I'm going to draw from that in this scripture passage when it says that I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, of course, the Lord's shadow would be big, but the imagery here is that the shadow of the Almighty would be cast, and that would be meaning that you would be close to Him. Did you see the imagery where He says, I would that under the feathers I would pull you in as a mother does, a mother bird does its chicks. And I want you to see this morning that if we're going to be under the shadow of the Almighty, we're going to have to get awfully close. We're not going to be able to run headlong away from what God wants us in our lives and then say, Lord, cover me. We understand that the Lord is everywhere, but I want you in your Christian life, and I want to in my Christian life be that one that snuggles up to the Lord. You know what it's like when you've got a little one, a toddler or a little older than that, and trouble comes, that they snuggle right up in there to mama. There's some special bond between children. There's supposed to be anyways, between children and their mama, and that mama is able to do what daddies can never do, and we understand that mama does that to love up on that child, but then right under the arm of that mom is that child, but right side by side with that mother is the father, and they are making a great fortress for that little one. And I look at the Father, our Heavenly Father, that is a wonderful fortress for us. Let me give you a few thoughts. Number one, the secret place doesn't promise no pain. You say, I don't know if I'm under that secret place because there's a lot of things going on in my life that I don't care for. Well, my friend, I don't want to be trite about it. I don't want to be dismissive of it, but join the club. Because there's a lot of folks that are going through things right now. Some of the greatest Christians I know are going through health issues right now. And they're not able to say that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, as it talks about in the Old Testament, that there is a time that that's truth, but they can't say that no health issues will come my way. You understand that in Luke chapter 21, the Bible talks about some of those that serve the Lord. It said, not an hair of your head shall perish. Yes, that's a promise that God has every hair numbered, but it also says two verses prior, some of thee shall cease and shall be put to death. My friend, there's great Christians in this world that have gone to the stake for their faith. And so for us to say that if I walk with the Lord, I'll never have problems, that's not a gospel that you read in the pages of the Bible that you're holding in your lap. In Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of fame of faith, as it were, about those Christians that have stood for the Lord, the Bible says in verse 34, they escaped the edge of the sword. Some of them did, yes. And you say, wow, praise the Lord, God protected. But you go down three verses later, and it says they were slain with the sword. Now listen, my friend, I didn't come to provide you a feel-good message. I didn't come to today to say this is always sunny and warm. This is always pleasant, because your life is not that way. But so what I'm telling you is, even though you're under the shadow of the Almighty, doesn't mean that bad news won't come. Doesn't mean that difficulties won't come. I'm here to say the Bible tells you that it rains on the just and the unjust. And sometimes we'll say things like Brother Marty did in Sunday school that it's hard for us to see. It's hard for me to see how these bad things happen to good people, but we know, as he said from Scripture, they do. And sometimes they're happening in your lives right now. And I want to acknowledge it, But I want to remind you that God, under His shadow of the Almighty God, has not forgotten where you're at. But I say, first of all, the under the shadow, the secret place of the Most High doesn't mean no pain. Not only that, but I see this wonderful promise, the secret place. The secret place, look in verse number 5 if you would. The secret place promises presence in the pain. Verse number 5 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day." Now, this is not something we face too much, arrows. There's not too many of them shooting outside of our house. But in the group of people that would have been reading this, they would have understood what that meant. And the Lord is telling those folks, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night or the arrow that flieth by day." You understand, you have a God that could take you out of any and all turmoil, any and all terror. But you also have a God that says that He won't take you out of that, but that instead He would walk with you through the most terrible of times. Amen. The Bible says, in reference to those that are going on of our loved ones, that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That promise is made there that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll go with you through the deepest, darkest valleys. But remember, as He's making that great promise that He'll go with you through that deep, dark valley, there's no promise that He won't let you go through it. And so I could get up here and say, if you would have enough faith, you wouldn't ever face any of those problems. But if you have that much faith, that would be more faith than what the Apostle Paul had, the great Christian missionary, because he had all kinds of problems. That would be more, that's better than the disciples had, because they had all kinds of problems. All but just one or two of them were killed by martyrs' death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their stand for Him. So my friend, I'm trying to be honest as I can with you today. The fact that you're under the shadow of the Almighty doesn't mean that pain won't come, but it does promise presence in the pain. And I hope that you and I get to a place where, as the Apostle Paul said, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I see not only that that secret place promises the presence, but that type of mentality, if you can follow me to that, that type of living, I think I'll illustrate here in just a moment, gives deliverance. Look at verse number 11, if you would. "For He," God, "shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." You know, you talk about how do we think you have angels, guardian angels? Where do these thinkings come from? Where do these thoughts come from? Well, some places like this. And I know that some of you, I've ridden with a few of you, you're working your guardian angel overtime. You have to give that one fellow a break. The Bible says that He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So I say, first of all, if I could reason with all of us, that the secret place doesn't mean that we won't have issues. The Bible says, "Ye that live godly in Christ Jesus, you shall suffer persecution." So that happens. But it's happening to everybody else out there that isn't a believer as well. So the secret place doesn't promise that. What it does promise is presence. And if we can get to that point in our life, that spot in our life, where we would take the presence of God over the absence of pain, the absence of difficulties, if we could get to that spot and kind of hover there, give us a little spot to clear off and live right there, I'm willing to have the pain, I'm willing to have the problems, they're coming anyways, but I'm glad to have God's presence in the pain that's caused in my life by this, that, or the other. When we get to that spot, we clear it off, and there's where we live. Let me tell you what it delivers. That type of mindset gives you the freedom and deliverance to look at things in the right way. Let me show you what I mean. Verse number 11, "He shall give His angels charge over thee." These are the people that were the same ones up in verse number 5 that had arrows flying at them. These are the same people up in verse number 5 that had terror by night. But God says down 6 verses later, He says, "I'll give My angels charge over you." Now, it doesn't mean you won't get battered and beaten a little bit, but God's got the whole score settled. If I truly live in that mindset, that my God has got things under control, then it gives me freedom. Because nothing comes to my life, and I know you've heard this analogy before, but nothing comes in my life except but without God letting it go past his proverbial desk. He doesn't have necessarily that, but it comes across his desk if we put it in our day vernacular of today. It comes across a supervisor's desk, and the supervisor either accepts it or rejects it, authorizes it or denies it. And so God, our great and powerful supervisor, I'm not certainly not being irreverent, he has to okay everything that comes into your life. And you connect that with the great promise that he says he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. That means that he won't let anything come to us that he, empowering us, can't get us through. So if I get to that spot where I realize that pain does come to the people under his shadow, but I also get to the spot where he'll be with me through the pain, and then I clear that off, and now I've got freedom, I've got deliverance, now I can live with some peace. Because what comes my way has been Father filtered. Meaning that's been filtered by the Father. So the problems that are going on in your life right now and in my life right now, they, my friend, have been Father filtered. You say, I don't like it. I prayed that it wouldn't happen. So did I. I'm not enjoying this. Neither am I. And we're speaking just abstractly here. I'm not enjoying that. Neither am I. But if God allowed it, you say, well, is God causing these difficulties? The Bible says God's not tempted, nor does he tempt, but he does allow things to come our way. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's more needful for you if I stay. Maybe God's letting some of the greatest Christians in this church right now go through some things because he's reminding us that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I don't know what all God's doing, but I do know that in many of your lives right now, there's issues coming, and they're hitting very fast. But when you get to a spot where you realize that I'll take the issues as long as God goes with me. The fellow, he's a year or two ahead of me in school, Dorsal. He had the envy of everybody else. He had a Camaro Z28, and he liked it. Everybody else did too, but he knew everybody liked it, so he was really proud of it. And so he would always park it down at the end of the parking lot. If we were in school, he was able to drive it the last couple years of high school. He would park it down there, and he would park it diagonally, take two spots, you know, so nobody dinged it with the door. And he would drive it, and every time he parked way out and do it that way. He was just obsessed with it, and just so worried if people came close to it and was going to scratch it and all of that. Yes, do you like the car? Yes. But is that any way to live? Not really. Now, my dad, you contrast that with my dad, said an old farmer, he'd only get a truck every so many years. As soon as he would need it, he'd go to the dealership, he'd pick out his truck, stripped down as you could be. No power steering, no power brakes back in the day when you could get one that way. And that's the way he did it. And this old fella, he said, first time he'd get home, he'd drive from the dealership, take it home. He'd take a ball peen hammer and pick somewhere on the bed and hit it. Somebody found out he did that. He didn't trade it, but every 4 or 5 years. He said, why do you do that? He said, that way I don't have to be worried about the first dent. Now, I don't recommend you do that. Somewhere between those two extremes probably is the best way to live. But you've seen people obsess over things, and they allow it to make them miserable. You know there's things going on in your life. And I don't think that you should have this whimsical, I don't care what happens attitude, because that's not right. You are required to handle the things that God brings to you. But I'm challenging you today. I'm begging you to live under the shadow of the Almighty. Because some of my friends, Now, they're not all in this church. I don't want you to act like everybody's come to me. I don't want you to think I'm acting like everybody's come to me and have problems. Many of them are across this country. They're just really going through it right now. And some wonderful people that I know, they are trying to handle it all on their own. And folks, it's above your capacity. It's above my capacity. We're trying to deal with this on a human level, and we're going to have to give it to God and let Him handle it on a deity level, because that's the only way it's going to get handled. So the Scripture says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty." Let me just give you these couple thoughts, and then we'll be done. Number one, the secret place is not that common. Now, I'm talking about in the best of the best of us. You say, how do you know it's not common? Because I find myself trying to exhaust myself fixing problems before I remember, oh yeah, dum-dum, go to God. Do you? You run around like a little whatever, I don't know, termite and yo-yo, I guess, as they say. You run around like crazy trying to figure out how you can do it. And then almost as it dawns on you, wait a minute, I haven't even prayed. The secret place, number one, is not that common. But number two, without that secret place, you and I forfeit the peace that comes from trusting God. Let's reason this out. If I don't go to the secret place and I don't trust God for my issues that are going on, I don't rely on Him, I don't trust in Him, I don't count on Him, I don't depend on Him, then who else is left to count on? Either me or some other frail human. And you know how dependable we are. You can count on your pastor, and your pastor will let you down. You can count on your spouse, and your spouse will let you down. Before you get too hard on them, they can count on their spouse, and that spouse will let them down too. We don't have it in us. So I say, first of all, the secret place is not that common. But if we don't find ourselves living under the shadow of the Almighty, being close to Him, we don't find ourselves resting in Him, counting on Him, depending on Him, then we live a life that's forfeiting the peace that God wants us to have. Because all you've got to count on is your ability or somebody like you's ability. And I'm telling you, my friend, it's just not sufficient. I know some of the most wonderful Christians, I believe, on the planet. But if I'm counting on their wisdom, I'm counting on their ability to get me through a specific problem, my faith is misplaced. The only way to get it settled and get it solved and have peace, because some of these things, you know, these aren't quick ticket items. Somebody comes to you and says, I've got a problem. And then you realize it's an illness is ultimately going to take them out of this world. That's not a short order. That's not something you can say, well, here, do this. Here's a little prescription. Do this, and it'll get fixed. This is something that will be plaguing them from now till the end. So unless we dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, find that secret place, then we are going to forfeit peace. And my friend, you and I need to be that one listed in verse 1 and dwell under in the secret place. I said it's not that common because we're all human and our tendencies is to try to figure it all out. You've heard this phrase before, haven't you, that we use prayer as a last resort instead of a first response. Well, that's not only true in our initial prayer, that's also true in our dependence on the Lord through whatever problem is going to you. You say, John, you didn't fix anything today. I did, we just don't realize it. I'm fixing it by telling all of us that we're going to have to quit relying on us and rely on Him. That shadow doesn't cast out very far. Those wings of that eagle's wings aren't out very far. So if you're going to be under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings, you're going to have to be mighty, mighty close. And so my Christian friend, I'm begging you to get close this morning. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I understand. I'm standing here realizing that even the song service at the beginning leading into this and some things that were taught in Sunday school might not make this a, hey, 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 the gang's all here service. But Lord, I'm trusting you that you've had your will and your way in this time. Friends, could I just tell you, there's a lot of heartache going on right now. There's a lot of heartache in the world, but there's a lot of heartache in some good friends of yours. Would you do that daily exercise and find yourself back under the shadow of the Almighty again, reminding yourself that if something comes across my path, it's been Father filtered. God might not have desired it to begin with, but He could have stopped it if He wanted. He didn't. Would you get in that secret place? If you're here today, before we even begin to play, if you're here today and you maybe need to do a little praying right there to say, Lord, I haven't been in that secret place like I should. Lord, forgive me. And ask the Lord to help you get back to that place of trust, that place of closeness, that place of fellowship. Right there where you sit, say, Lord, I've been trying and trying and trying myself, but I forgot to trust. I've been running around like crazy trying to do it myself, but I haven't snuggled up underneath you like I should. Christian friend, talk to him. Pray. Say, Lord, I want to be there in that secret place. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, I told you at the beginning I'm speaking specifically to Christians, but maybe you're here and you're not a believer. Maybe you know about Jesus, but you've never received Him. You've never turned from everything you can do and turned to Jesus Christ for your sin, for your salvation. But you'd like to today. Oh, I pray that in just a moment we stand, you'd make your way to the front. Me or somebody would take a Bible and show you how you can just reach out to Christ and accept Him as your Savior. Whatever your spiritual need is, I trust that you'd come. Maybe some of you need to be baptized. You've been saved, you've not been baptized. Maybe somebody wants to come and present themselves for membership. We'd meet with you real soon about that. Whatever your spiritual need is, I trust that you'd follow the Lord. Father, bless us now, is our prayer, please, in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God has spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel, stand here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. If you have some need of a pastoral help, he'll be right there. Maybe you're a lady and you'd like for somebody to pray with you, then he could certainly facilitate that. Get a lady to pray with you. The secret place, it's called the secret place for a reason, because it's not that well known by everybody. Oh, it's not secret because God's trying to hide it from you. It just happens to be that it's not that well known by even good Christians. Let's find it today. Let's dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's say that He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Let's say in Him will I trust. Let's say that surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Let's say that He shall cover me with the feathers, and under His wings thou I shall trust. His truth shall be the shield, my shield and my buckler, the secret place. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. You may look this way, and what a joy to be in church today, and I hope that I haven't been a downer to you. You may be saying, Pastor, I was doing great till I came in here. Well, please just stow that one away, because it will be what you'll need when times go tough. Somebody's once said that, or oftentimes said, that you're either in a battle, you're going through one, or you just got out of one, because they come in our lives. And so let's decide to get close to the Almighty. Would you do that with me? Thank you so much. Brother Marty, would you come and dismiss in prayer? I'm going to slip to the back and be glad to greet you. Thank you for being in church this morning. If you are a guest with us, first time in a long time or first time today, if you didn't mind to drop that guest card off at the guest services, we've got a gift for you just for being our guest, and we want to say thank you for being here with us. You made our day by being our guest today. God bless you. Brother Marty's going to pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the word that was taught and preached to us. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God that is there for us and can watch over us and keep us when we need you. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one here, bring us back in an appointed time. Follow in Jesus' name. Amen.